when people say, you know, you'll find this when you're ready, you'll get there when you're supposed to, it requires you to abandon that timeline and just trust the process.
Hey guys, happy Wednesday and welcome back to the My 20-somethings podcast.
For those of you who are new here, we're Jenna and Sophie, and we are two 20-something-year-old best friends who started this podcast to create a community of those of us just figuring this all out. Every other week, we bring you advice, guest mentors, and personal anecdotes so you never have to say, I wish I knew that in my 20s.
And it's very true when I say that we have missed you. We know that you may hear our voices every other Wednesday, but for Jenna and I, it's been quite some time since we've gotten the chance to just sit down and chat. So this feels so good. And before we get started, Jenna, what on earth has been new with you?
Oh my gosh, it's been a whirlwind. I know both Sophie and I are finishing up our undergraduate degrees, and I can personally admit that fourth year has been kicking my butt. I'm not giving up just yet, though. I'm putting on quite the fight. Needless to say, I am very glad to be taking the school break to record with you, though. I definitely was in need of some time away from my study notes. Speaking of time flying by before our eyes, this week we plan to talk about all things growing up.
If you're anything like us, you've definitely felt the intense nervous energy that magically appears on your birthday when you realize that you're 1 year older and you're one way further away from all those glorious childhood years. As much as we love the added perks and independence of adulting, we can't help but miss the nostalgic period where nothing really mattered and like a juice box could basically fix all of your problems in life.
So, really quick question. What was your childhood like, Sophie?
Yeah, I mean, for those of you who don't know, I was an only child and I actually grew up in a military family. So there was a little bit of like moving around. I think I was on a plane like at one point every month for like a year or so. So like there was a lot of flying, but it was just me and my mom didn't work until I was four. So there was a lot of like one-on-one time with my mom and my parents and I were super tight. I definitely felt like the world revolved around me, and my parents could take care of my every need. But as I got older, I think that being an only child was really interesting because I saw my friends growing up with siblings. And so it was really interesting, but I did a lot of dancing, skating, was super involved in like activities. So yeah, I look back on my childhood very fondly. And Jenna, you're the youngest in your family. So you grew up with a sister your entire life. So totally different from me. So what was your childhood like in that sense?
Yeah, I also really remember my childhood fondly. I really had a positive childhood. I had a very fun childhood. I did have an older sister, so that obviously adds a different element. It made it fun. I always had a playmate, which was great. And yeah, I had great parents, great childhood. I loved my activities. I danced, I did art. Like I was very active as a kid. So I definitely miss my childhood. I miss the good old days when, as you said, like your biggest problem was who you were going to have a play date with that week. Like time seemed so much simpler back then, but it is what it is. And I will recover, but I definitely do miss the good old days, I'll call it. There is that weird stage between when you're a child and when you're a teen or even being a fully independent grown adult that no one ever seems to talk about. It's that super uncomfortable and super overwhelming period where you're really finding yourself. You're maybe considered an adult legally, but you don't feel like an adult. You don't quite know who you are or what you're doing, and yet you're just expected to go with it and expected to pretend like everything's all together.
So today we're going to be diving deep into the anxiety or lack of anxiety, depending on who you are, that comes with leaving home, becoming independent, fears of falling behind, and just learning to be an adult and taking on all the responsibilities that it comes with. We cover a lot of our tips for staying calm amongst a decade of change and transition, and we reminisce over the good old days.
So without further ado, let's get into it.
So the first thing I want to talk about with you, Jenna, is the pros and cons of being an adult because it's definitely sweet and sour.
Yes, what a loaded question. There are really two very different sides of it. Most obviously to me, the pros of being an adult are the added dependence. So you report to no one generally. You decide what you want to do. You're in control of your life choices. You get to go where you want to go, eat what you want to eat, live how you want to live, obviously with some restrictions. But you really are in the driver's seat versus when you're a child and a parent or a guardian makes most of those choices for you.
Yeah, I agree. Well, in terms of pros, I think for me it's the control. And I think this is something that I always looked forward to as a kid. And I think a lot of kids do is just having the control of what you're wearing, what you're doing, how you choose to spend your money. It was something I was always very aware of. Like, I think, funnily enough, as a kid, I always wanted to have a big purse, like a big tote bag. And now, like, you will rarely find me without a big purse or tote bags. So, like, there's those pros of having control and independence. But yeah, I don't know, Jenna, do you want to start us off with all a few of the cons of becoming an adult?
I mean, obviously, exactly what we just said is a pro could be considered a con, which is there when you have all this added independence, it's all on you, yay, but it's also all on you. So you are responsible for all your choices. No one's there to check your work. No one's there to steer you in the right direction. You have this a lot you have a lot of pressure to know what you're doing in a time when really the only thing that's going to prepare you for knowing what you're doing is experience. And so as great as it is, I don't know. When you are young, you know how everyone says to you, "Oh, you'll understand when you're older and wiser." There is a lot of that pressure to have that knowledge, maybe without even being taught that knowledge. And so a lot of people get overwhelmed by the prospect of you're supposed to know what you're doing, even when you don't, or when you don't know where to access that information. And then, most obviously, the other major con of being an adult is the responsibility. You have so many dull grown-up tasks that when you were younger, you had the ability to just pass on to someone else so you could just play with your Legos. But now you have to handle things like taxes and mortgages and grocery shopping and laundry, and there's just so many routine like tasks that you unfortunately can't just tell someone else who's older and wiser to do for you.
Yeah, exactly. I think that, like, when, like, again, a pro would be that you have lots of opportunity, and especially in your 20s, lots of opportunity, lots of different doors and avenues that you can take your life with. But the con is actually making serious decisions and, like, committing to things. Like, as a kid, it was like, oh, well, if I don't like art class, like, I'll go to dance. And if I don't like dance, oh, no big deal. I'll go to swimming. And you were kind of just taught to try, and if you don't succeed, move on. Like,
Oh,
that
well,
was,
right.
oh well, like, we'll find something else. But things get really serious, and when you become an adult, like Jenna said, you have mortgages and rent to pay or car payments to make, and you, like, cannot just, like, be like, oh, don't like my job, see you later. Like, it's not like that anymore. So I think that there's a lot more commitment, and, like, while there's so much opportunity, there's a lot of other weights on you and pressures.
I would describe it as being summarized as pro, it's all you. Con, it's all you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like a
And
weird way to think about it, but it's the si two sides of the same coin.
it's just all about how you frame it. Like, I choose to be like, it's all on me and I can do it and I'm strong enough to make these decisions. And I think I try and kind of block out the con, and I'm like, that's just it, but I can do it. Like, I think that's how I frame becoming an adult, but yeah.
Well, I think we both share very interesting perspectives because I would say, just by guessing, that for you, Sophie, you looked forward to being an adult. You wanted to be an adult. The prospect of adulthood was exciting.
Yeah.
And for me, who lived very comfortably as a child, growing up scared the shit out of me. I didn't want to do it. I'd get nervous on my birthday every year because I thought, oh my God. Another year gone. Soon I'll have to, drive myself to appointments. Like it was all like very stressful. And I think I saw more of the cons than the pros. So it's interesting that we both
Yeah.
like saw it differently growing up.
Yeah, I think we definitely have different, we're facing a lot of the same obstacles and challenges and like responsibilities, but different approaches or like different feelings about how it's affecting us on a day-to-day level.
But it's good because I guarantee you there are some people out there who are just like you and couldn't wait to get their independence and get their driver's license and never come back. And then there are people like me who every year panic and just want to hold on to those good old days before they run out.
Yeah, interesting.
Leading on to our second topic on this, what did you find to be the scariest part about being an adult? And again, I know you said you enjoyed it, but were there things that you looked at as a young child and thought, oh shit, I will never be able to handle that?
I don't know. And like, that's why I think, okay, so I think that this may be key. As an only child, I lived for my parents. My parents didn't live for me. So
Ooh.
I went on the vacations my parents wanted to go to. I watched the movies my parents wanted to watch. Like, I've never seen Monsters, Inc. or like most Disney movies. But when you have more than one child, a lot of the time parents then do stuff for the kids. So instead of going to, I don't know, Greece and going on a golf trip, because those are the things that I did as a kid,
You go
they
to
would go to
Disney.
Disney World.
Yeah.
So I think for me, I almost lived like an adult. I didn't hang out with my parents' kids, friends' kids, because my parents are a little bit older. I hung out with their adult friends. So I was
So you
very
didn't have like a
exposed to
kids'
it.
table.
No, I was never at the kids' table. I was always just
Ah.
at the adult table and taught to be there and always had those conversations. So I don't think that there was a fear because I was so ingrained into it and I lived their life in a sense,
Yeah.
which equipped me differently. I think like the scariest part of becoming adult was like the finance side of it, like not knowing how I'm gonna fund the life that I got used to with my parents. But as I get closer to it, I understand that like we're given skills growing up and that like it just takes time and that's okay. So I don't know, I don't think scary, maybe daunting.
Yeah.
Not scary. I don't think I've ever felt scared. I was more like, I know I'm supported and I will do it on a day-by-day basis.
Well, what you just said about like the confidence coming with time is the kicker for me, because for me, I'd look ahead at all those like almost like written milestones. Like I'm picturing it almost like, you know, when like you measure your height on the wall and there are just those little ticks. I picture it like the ticks of your timeline. And so it's like you have to do this by this age, you have to do this by that age. Like, for example, when you drive, when you go to college, when you get a job, like all those things are those little ticks for me. And I always remember being young and thinking, I will never be able to do that. Like, I don't know what they're talking about. Like, I'm not going to be able to, I don't know, go to high school. And then time goes by and you kind of trust the process and you realize, okay, there's a reason why everyone waits until this point to do it. Life gets you ready for this point. And it doesn't mean that it's the same amount of scary for everyone or easy for everyone. It just means that there is a little bit of trust into when people say you'll understand when you're older. Some of that is true, and you do kind of just settle into it naturally.
And it's funny because I held like a completely opposite perspective. I was like, I can't wait to get my driver's license. I can't wait to go to high school. I can't wait to apply for university. And it definitely, like, when I look back on like you and I in high school, like, it was definitely that, like, I was like pushing, driving forward. And you were like, let's just be in the moment. Like, let's just enjoy where we
Yeah.
are. Like, why are you stressing
Hold
so much? Hold up.
on.
And it's funny because I almost have the opposite where I'm like so excited. And then I get there and I'm like, this is
Yeah.
not as cool as I thought it was gonna be. There's like a lot of responsibility. I was like,
Yeah.
hold up, like I don't know if I love this so much, but I'm really
Yeah.
excited to like get there. And that's how I've always operated, always looking forward to the next milestone and finding it hard to actually enjoy the milestone that I'm in.
I would say the milestone that scared me the most was going to university. And I thought about this for years, and I have a vivid memory of sitting in my backyard, probably at the age of 7, and crying to my sister and saying to her, I don't want to go. And she was like, Jenna, this is years away. And I was like, but it's not, it's so close. And I said to her, like, what if I just decide to go to like my local school, which is like a great school? It's like my equivalent to like our state school. And she was like, that's fine. And lo and behold, I ended up going to a school in my own city. But it was just so funny that from such a young age, it was like not only daunting, but just like, oh, so overwhelming. I couldn't even begin to think about it. And again, time went by and it became less and less overwhelming because by the time I reached that point, I had all the skills I needed to do it, whether I knew it or not. But I remember being so beyond my reach when I was thinking about it.
Interesting.
Mm.
I'm like realizing that I wasn't scared. I was very excited, but then I got there and I'm like, oh, this is not what I thought it was going to be. That's more my perspective on it.
Interesting. I think I always was just a realist, and I was thinking more about the all the responsibilities rather than the perks.
Yeah, I was the opposite. I'm like, I'll
You're the
figure out the
perks.
responsibilities, but like the perks outweigh it.
But ooh, a shiny car, fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly how my brain. Oh, squirrel, that's me.
Got it. Okay. When would you say it hit you that you weren't a kid anymore? And maybe you still consider yourself a kid, but when was it like, oh shit? When people say to you, just go ask an adult, and you're like, oh, I can't say that. I'm the adult in this situation. Like, when did that happen?
I don't know if there's like a defining moment. I really don't, because I think that there's like, I think becoming an adult is like a transition and a
Yes.
process. Like, I don't think I'm fully there yet. I think I'm still my parents' kid. I
Yes.
still feel that way. And I think for me personally, and this will be very, it's a very personal thing. I think when I'm not that I'm not necessarily living with them, when I'm financially independent and able to support myself and like making decisions regardless of like what they think or needing their approval, that's when I will feel like a full-on adult. But there's definitely defining moments along the process of getting their own, like becoming more of an independent individual adult and having adult-like responsibilities. I'm not a kid, but I'm not a full adult. There's definitely like the
Yeah.
day that I took my car out for the first time without them in the car, the day I opened my bank account separate from my parents, like things like that. I think for me, a lot of it revolves around independence and finances, but I don't know if I have like one defining moment.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, I feel like I'm a young adult, but I feel like they're also adultier adults than me. And I once talked to my dad, and I remember he said to me, like, I asked him about something, and he said, I don't know, go ask a grown up. And I was like, what? And he was like, oh, that's me. Like, even grown ups don't consider themselves to be adults, which is so funny. But no, I don't know. I do vividly remember turning 18, and I think it was just because my dad was saying things about, like, oh, like, this is a big one. Like, you're an adult now. Like, again, I probably didn't feel like an adult at 18, but just the pressures of society considers me an adult hit hard.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think like being able to vote didn't hold that much like adult ship for me. I'm not sure why. I didn't feel like, oh, I'm an adult now. Like, I don't know. I don't have a defining moment. I have adult like feeling moments
Yeah.
where I'm becoming more like an adult. I don't feel like I'm an adult yet.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay.
I feel like I do adulting things for sure. It's not fun, but I don't know if I'm not a full-on adult. I still feel like my
Yeah.
parents' kid.
I understand that.
Okay, the next thing I want to talk about is the pressures of growing up thanks to social media, and something that's really been influential to me and think something I think a lot about is that Jenna and I are 21, turning 22 in the spring slash summer this year. We are pretty much the first generation, even like maybe kids 2 years older than us only, who have literally grown up with like Facebook, Instagram. Like, we have seen the rise of all of these social media platforms, and we navigated them when there was absolutely no rules. Our generation literally made up the rules out of thin air. And now I'm starting to see a lot of kids who are now being born into this, or like when we were 13, it was just kind of really, really gaining speed. I think it started when we were like 12, but now 12-year-olds, like 12 years later, basically, who are 12 and coming onto social media. And I'm like, holy
I
shit.
know.
Like,
It's crazy.
there's pressures of me growing up, but also like on them, like how it's just completely shifted what it means to grow up.
Well, like, again, there's so many sides of that because there's the side of, the pressures of growing up based on, like, look at what other people are doing with their lives, posting on social media of, oh my God, she just got engaged, or oh my God, she just graduated from high school, and look where I am. Like, there's that side, but then there's also the side of when you're young, seeing what other people are doing, and social media putting this pressure on to be like them online. And so, yeah, like, can you imagine those 12-year-olds right now that are like, can't be 12-year-olds? When we were 12, like, we had braces, maybe. And we were like playing with Barbies. And now they're just like doing, the dances on the TikTok and being all scandy. And it's such a different world. And social media totally changes it because it really does a good job of convincing you that you have to be at a certain place when you don't.
And I think, like, for me, even social media is detrimental for how I'm growing up as an adult because I am worried about, oh, well, there's things that I want to do that I won't do because of social media. And I'm like, well, I could just not post it. Like, but the fact that it's even a consideration is just astonishing to me in my head, thinking that I'm like really strong, but like no one is really resilient to social media and how it's affecting them to live their day-to-day life. Like, I think social media was initially intended to just share updates and stay connected. Now it's become like a core part of our routine and lives, which I just think was never the intention. And it's really interesting to see how if you get engaged, if you buy a house. For me personally, I got a dog and I felt the need to announce it. But why? Why? Like,
But
I don't really understand.
I would say that the only generation that has it harder than us in terms of pressures to grow up and pressures to perform on social media are the young moms today. Because their life is so hard where everyone's bragging and everyone's saying, look what little Tommy just did at 6 months that he should have been doing at one at a year old, ha ha. And it's just these really like everyone is this performative form of social media where everyone is showing off, everyone is trying to brag. They're obviously not showing when Tommy, had a fit in the grocery store, but they are showing when he's overachieving so that you can feel bad about your own parenting. Like, that is so difficult. And those kids, too, I think are going to be affected by that, too, having all their milestones documented and bragged about.
It just really bothers me because I know, like, I'll talk to my mom and she's like, what do you mean you know that this person did this? She's like, when I was your age, I had no idea what my friends were like, not a clue, not a clue. Like, I didn't know what they were doing. And it was fun because they got to get together and be like, oh, I'm doing this and that. And like, it wasn't broadcasted. And I kind of like, I love getting together with friends and just catching up. I hate when I know that something's happened. I'm like, oh, I saw this. Like, it, I don't know. It just doesn't feel human. And
But we
like,
say this time and time again, social media is a highlight reel and it doesn't tell you the full picture. So, yes, you may see that Susan just got engaged, but you don't see that she also just had a midlife crisis and considered quitting her job. Like, it
it's an
allows us,
illusion.
it's so an illusion and it allows us to buy into false realities, which is really detrimental. And I don't personally know how we train ourselves to recognize the bullshit other than just to constantly be reminding ourselves that. But oh God, it is so hard growing up, not trying to compare yourself to someone else, knowing that you're on your own path, knowing that everyone does everything on their own timelines when it's right in front of you all the time.
And speaking of like timelines, like the next thing that I want to go into is like, is there a set timeline for growing up? Does everyone have to grow up at the same time? Like, I think social media, specifically staying on that note with this, is like literally making us be like, okay, at this age, you do this. So when you're 18, then you make the announcement on what university or what school or what college you're going to. When you're 22, you graduate. But also, while you're at school, you have to post a homecoming picture and a St. Patrick's Day picture and a this picture and a that picture. But then, like, when you graduate, then you need to do this. And like, then you need to do this. And then you need to buy your house. And like, Sandy bought her house at 24. So like, I need to too, which like, I'm so
Sandy and
frustrated.
Susan,
Andy and Susan.
they're thriving.
Yeah, really.
No, you're so right. And again, I am not, I say again all the time, you're so right. And I am not a developmental psychologist. I'm not an occupational therapist. I'm not a social worker. I'm not anything professional that could tell you about when milestones are supposed to happen in terms of cognitive development. But I can tell you that most of those timelines are absolute bullshit. And a lot of it is just our societal pressure for when we think things should happen, just based on what the media tells us, just based on what it seems like the trends are in our societies and mainstream culture. But if you don't meet those and you meet them at your own time, that's fine too. Like, I'll give the example of the fact that when I was young and I was being potty trained, I apparently told my mother that I was like, I'm not ready, give me time. And 6 months later, I was like, okay, I'm ready. And then I was ready. And so maybe I don't stick to a timeline, but if you trust your gut, there's a timeline in there. Like, it's not everyone else's, it's yours.
Yeah. And like even like for example, and I think this is like pretty noteworthy at Jenna and I's age, it comes with like engagements and like not necessarily our friends, but like our friends' siblings, older siblings, and like getting engaged. And it's just like interesting. I feel like that is such a personal thing. And like how it used to be is you found out someone was engaged because they like sent you a letter or they called you and they told you, or like their aunt's best friends with your mom's sister, and that's how you find out or whatnot, or you get the like the save the date in the mail. Now it just doesn't really feel like that. It feels like
No.
it's scrutinized. Like someone gets engaged and then you do the engagement photo, and then I know I personally immediately am going to their Facebook to figure out how old they are. Like why?
Because again, there's the societal pressure to be in line with everyone else, which just doesn't make sense because we all aren't living parallel lives. We have many different things going on in our lives. So it doesn't make sense to say that everyone needs to be engaged by 27 if half of us are working full-time jobs and the other half of us are in school or the other half of us are traveling. Like, we're all doing very different things. So I think these timelines, if anything, hold us back and create these really intense pressures of why aren't I meeting expectations? Why am I not able to do what my friends are doing? When again, they're not, it's not a one size fits all situation.
No. And I think that like a lot of things are such personal. Again, we always say it, social media, and like even just growing up, you don't know their story. You like to think that you know someone else's story. You don't know someone else's story. And that's often like if people are making fun of someone or talking about someone, I am not one to like get all upset, but I will say like, guys, you don't know their story. Like you don't know what's really going on. And I think that like social media is just like you feel like you know their story, you feel like you know everything about them, but you know the highlights, you don't know the downs, you don't know the deep, the personal. So like it's really interesting that this is even a thing. And growing up in general, everyone does it at their own pace. So why do we now feel like there's like certain set ways to do things?
Right. Look, we can rant about this forever.
We
Long
could.
story short, no, there is no set timeline despite popular belief. Everyone does not have to grow up on the same time. In fact, if you buy into that fake timeline, you're probably kicking yourself in the foot because when people say, you'll find this when you're ready, you'll get there when you're supposed to, it requires you to abandon that timeline and just trust the process. And so, yes, everyone grows up at their own time. Stop stressing about meeting other people's expectations and just focus on you.
Retweet.
If you've been a diehard fan of the podcast this season, you'll know we are absolutely obsessed with our new jewelry pieces from Ana Luisa. We love how Ana Luisa makes conscious jewelry accessible for everyone. Their affordable pieces start at only $39, and they're all simplistic, elegant, and versatile for any occasion. We receive nonstop compliments when we wear our gorgeous new finds and have been dying to share this jewelry gem with you since like forever. Best of all, they're carbon neutral from packaging to products. Their holistic approach to manufacturing ensures that every purchase contributes to reducing the jewelry industry's carbon footprint. Finally, a jewelry brand you can look and feel good wearing. Upgrade your bling collection today by visiting www.shop.analuisa. That's analuisa.com/my20-somethings. Just for our listeners, use code my20-somethings to receive 10% off your entire purchase. That's 10% off with code my20-somethings at www.shop.analuisa.com/my20-somethings. Okay, what about moving out? Because I know that's a really big part of growing up, and it's a big pressure for a lot of people to leave their parents' homes, get their own home. When do you have to move out, or do you even have to ever move out?
I mean, in season one, we had Kristen come on here and give us all permission to stay in our parents' house for as long as we needed to, so that we could, well, this was like specifically to like build up your savings and finances. But I personally don't think it's anyone's business whether you live on your own, whether you live on your parents, like it's all based on your own personal circumstances. And like, it doesn't mean anything, frankly. It doesn't mean that you're not mature. It doesn't mean that you aren't growing up. Like, I think that moving out is like its whole, it's a very complicated situation. And especially in today's rental landscape, it's really difficult. So I think it's definitely been glamorized to move out and become independent, but I don't think that you need to move out to be an adult.
Right. No, I agree. I think I feel conflicted about this because when do you have to move out? I don't think there's a one right answer. I think it's situation based. Do you have to move out? I think have to is a really strong word. I think there are benefits to moving out one day because, again, it forces you to be independent. It forces you, it gives you the opportunity, I should say, to have control over how you live, what you like to eat and do. It also gives your parents a necessary break because they've done a really good job, I'm assuming, at raising you and giving you love and attention, and they deserve to say, okay, you're off on your own, you're done, we did our job. And then the third question being, when you move out, does it have to be final? Like, can you ever move back in with your parents? Can you move out but then hate it and come back and try again in a couple of years? Absolutely. I don't think anything like this is so black and white. I think you decide what's right for you. I think moving back in with your parents shouldn't be seen as reverting or traveling backwards. I think it's just a necessary step in finding where you belong.
Well, like if I can speak personally about my experience, I went to school about an hour away from home. So I chose that school because I'm like not at home. I can't just go home on a dime, but like I can go home on a dime if I really need to. So that's why I chose, partly why I chose my school, among other reasons. So I moved out in my first year, I stayed in residence. And then my second year, I got a house with a few other girls, and I lived there for that year. And then my third year was the pandemic, and instead of living in that house, I decided to come back home and live at home for a year, even though I still had my rental. So I had a place to go, but I just felt like it was a better situation under my circumstances to be back home. So like that was a situation where I really could have been moved out. Like I was, there was a rental there for me, but I chose to live at home. And frankly, I did not revert. I blossomed and I grew under the my parents' roof. It facilitated a place of growth for me. And then in my fourth year, I went back and I moved out into a different apartment. And now I'm living away from my parents. And when I graduate, my plan is to come back home. And not because I can't get an apartment, I very well could, but I've decided that under my circumstances, it's a better decision for me to come back home for a year and set up my life and be with my parents for a little bit longer before they retire and move out to the boonies. but I don't think that it's a linear journey. I've like literally been away for 2 years, back for one, away for one, back for one. Like it's not linear. And I think it's very personal and it's very circumstantial.
Right. No, I agree completely. And I think so many people are like you, and I'm like you in that way too, of it's just what worked best for me. And learning to accept that and say, fuck the timeline and fuck what everyone else is doing, that's their life, this is mine, is so important. And it's not an overnight process, trusting what you're doing and having confidence in your choices, but it's an important one that deserves your time and attention.
Yeah, and there's pros and cons to living at home and pros and cons to living on your own.
Right.
There's like good and bad with both.
True. And as Kristen said, you'll have years and years where you can be on your own. So enjoy the time when you get to be with your family. And especially in this pandemic, I think so many people have really re-evaluated what it's like or how they see their family and how they recognize family time. And so if you can, and if it's in the cards for you and it doesn't cause real strife, why not? Do it while you can, because you'll miss it when it's gone.
Yeah, and that segues perfectly into the next topic that we have on our list is it weird to stay close to your parents as you become an adult, as you grow into your own independent person? And I don't know if weird is the right word, but I know personally for me, it has been about setting boundaries.
I don't know. Maybe I have a different perspective on this, but I think it's not weird at all.
No, that's what I mean, like weird's a weird word for that.
Right. I think that if you're lucky enough to be close with your family and see them as both people that you love and respect, but also people that you like to be around, that's awesome. Like, that's a treat that not everyone has the privilege to have. And so, yeah, if you have that support system in your life that you love to be with and love to spend time with, 100% you should stay close with them. And again, value that time before it's gone. I am obsessed with my family. I'm very, very close with my mom in particular, and we hang out. We go shopping together. We watch TV together because I like her as a person as much as I like her. I love her as a mom. And I know that that's not everyone's situation, so I see that as being such a privilege. And yeah, I don't think it's weird. I don't ever like feel bad about saying, "Oh, I'm going on a trip with my mom," or I can't hang out with you right now because I have plans with my mom. Like, I don't think that's something you should be embarrassed about. Like, yeah, just because she's your parent, if you like them, awesome.
Yeah. And I think like I'm the exact same way. I don't think it's weird at all. I think it depends on your relationship, but I know for me personally, my relationship with my parents has changed as I've gotten older. It's become a lot more equal. It's become a lot more of a friendship and like a kinship than like a mother daughter father daughter. I think I get same thing as an only child, like our relationship was always based on respect, and it was that I respect my parents, and now it's my parents are starting to respect me more. So there's a little bit of a respect shift that's happening. But I don't think it's weird at all. Especially as an only child, I'm exceedingly close with my parents. Whenever we play games with like who's the closest with parents, it's always me. because I have that relationship with my parents that I'm very, very lucky to. And personally, my relationship with my parents has improved dramatically as I've gotten older.
Yeah, no, I think that's amazing. And I love my parents. I miss my parents when I'm not with them. And I don't think that's weird. I think that's just shows that you have a great bond. And no, you said it perfectly. Like, your relationship will change, but as long as you can want to be close with them, do it, 'cause you'll miss it. Okay, next question. Oh, this is such a loaded question. How does one know what they want to do or what they want to be in their life? And when should you know? Like, when should you be like, "Oh, got it. This is who I am. This is who I want to be."
You don't.
You don't, exactly.
You don't, but you take risks and you follow your gut. And at a certain point, you do have to choose. And it's not easy, and you don't know. There, nothing's guaranteed in life. We know this. We know that like every day, tomorrow is not guaranteed. And you basically need to make decisions on where you're going to be happy and taking risks. And that's what life is. It's literally a series of really hard decisions, and they're not fun a lot of the time. Sometimes they are, but it's not always fun. But you don't know what you want to be, who you want to be, where you want to be in life. Sometimes you don't even get to choose. Sometimes it just happens for you and you don't have the control.
The great thing I think is that I don't think you ever really have to know at all. I think if you were to ask someone in their 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, what they want to do with their life, they would still say, "I don't know. Like, I haven't figured it out yet." And I don't think you have to know ever. I think we are lucky enough to live in a society where you can change who you want to be or what you want to do. You no longer really have to have one job or one identity. That can change throughout life. I personally plan to have tons and tons of identities and jobs. And so I don't think you ever have to have the answer to that question. I think if someone asks you that question, you can say, "I don't know, and I love that about myself." It's obviously easier said than done. It takes confidence to be able to acknowledge that we don't have control in this world. But yeah, I think short answer, no, I don't think you ever have to know. And I don't think there is a time when you will know per se. I think you may think you know, but I think that's naive to assume that a global pandemic might not just come and sweep it all away. So never say, what is it? Never say always. Never say never. Never say always.
I don't know. I just know never sin never.
Never say never. Never say always. So just stop with the absolutes. We don't know anything. I think that's it.
The next one on our list is talking about like parent pressures, other adult pressures, for you to achieve certain milestones at certain ages as defined by other people other than you in your life.
Oh God, I mean, we just talked about how lucky we are to have positive relationships with our parents, but That doesn't mean that our lives nor anyone's lives are free from parents putting those little pigs at you to make sure that you're still on the same plane as some of their friends and everything like that. And I often would get, well, when are you going to do this? Because my friend Susan, her son did this 2 years ago. Or I read on the internet that you should be doing this now. Or oh, especially like Thanksgiving dinners or something when they'd say, so what are you doing with your life? Or it's just, there's a lot of external pressures from adults who probably themselves don't have all of these answers, but who feel the need to make sure that you know exactly what you're doing at the ripe age of 20.
See, it's funny. I've never actually felt that, and I really tried to like feel that, but I've never personally felt that. I have felt pressure to please, but that's because I'm a people pleaser. And I think this is how I feel it, is that I will try to please people without even realizing that I'm doing it. And so I think the way that I embodied this was achieving those milestones way before it was even a thought in my parents' head. So they were always like, oh, Sophie's did that, Sophie's done that,
A
Sophie.
lot of pressure.
But it was that pleasing moment. And honestly, like that's I don't regret it or like resent that feeling. It's just interesting because I think for a long time I like tried to feel that way. And then the one time that I felt that was fourth year graduating, and everyone's saying, what you doing?
Oh,
And
God.
I was like, I don't know, because it bothers me just as much as it bothers you that I don't know. And that was the one time where I didn't have the control to like just reach out and grab that milestone where I wanted it to be as early as I wanted it to be. And that's when I started to go, oh, this is what everyone else feels when like there's that pressure to like know what you're doing and I don't know what I'm doing. So that was like a really icky feeling, and I didn't like the lack of control. But I think that like for me, those milestones were like a lot of pressure to achieve early. Like I always wanted to get there, regardless of, because I didn't even want that external pressure. I did it before it even came.
No, I've definitely experienced it, and I know everyone has good intentions, but I think I remember being, in a in grade what would have been grade 12, a senior in high school, and everyone's saying, "So where are you going? What are you doing?" And I just wanted to get a shirt printed up that said,
Don't ask
"Don't
me.
ask me about college. I don't want to talk about it." And so, I think you just have to keep reminding yourself, everyone is just wanting the best for you. They just are showing, doing it in a really funny way that appears a little bit irritating and like they're jabbing at sensitive points, but you just kind of have to let it, wash off. What is it? Oh, I'm gonna do another
Let the water roll off your back.
water off a duck's back, I think is what it is. And just kind of say, oh, I don't know. And that's okay. And veer the conversation because,
Yeah.
again, everyone means well,
Well,
but.
I catch myself doing it to other people, like full on. Well, but if you remember university, Jenna, like in high school, I was the first one basically in our class who, like, I told my family at Christmas dinner where I was going, which was way earlier than most people knew. But I found myself fourth year, me being stressed about not knowing what I'm doing. And I'm turning to other people, being like, do you know what you're doing? They're like, no. I'm like, I don't know why I keep asking people this. Like, I don't like it either.
Because it validates your feelings though. Like it validates of like, oh, I'm doing what I'm supposed to because look, I met a milestone, which is hard. But yeah, I think we just all have to kind of remember everyone's on their own path, no judgment. And you can say that to someone like, oh, to be honest, I'm on my own path and I'm doing my own thing. So maybe I'm taking a year off or maybe I'm just taking a couple more months than other people to make this decision or to do this new thing. And it's really just about self-confidence and trusting your gut and knowing that other people don't know what's good for you as well as you do.
True.
Okay, we've reached my favorite one, which is I, as I said earlier, loved my favorite part about my childhood was just how relaxed it was, how low the stakes were. It was really just your biggest problem was you wanted to play with the purple dinosaur and so did Susie and you would have to wait your turn. It was just everything seemed so much simpler. And so I now my question is, how do you bring back those fun, playful, youthful elements of your childhood into your life forever? How do you add those elements back into your adulthood. And I think there's an answer. I don't think once you've left your young adult life that all those fun things are gone forever. I think it's a matter of incorporating play into your adulthood. And I heard from someone once that play is something that we are trained to do as a child. We learn how to play, but then we don't practice it moving forward and we forget. And so I once was speaking to someone and they said, "What do you do for fun?" And I said, I go to dance class and I have a podcast and stuff." And they said, No. What do you do for fun? That's just play." And I realized I don't know how to play and I don't know how to just do something for the sake of fun without it being something that's helping me in life or something that has pressure to it. And so I think it's really important that if we all want to keep the youthful aspect of our lives, that we reincorporate play into our lives.
Yeah, I think for me, it's just become different outlets for finding happiness and release and carefreeness. It's not the same. And I think for me, it's going to be a endless project to find those things that make me happy. And I think that I go through phases with things. I change my mind a lot, and I don't think that it's always going to be the same. I think right now, I actually don't know, but I think it's ongoing, and as long as you're finding moments away from learning, work, chores, routine, then that's okay too.
Okay, so we posed a lot of questions, and now I think we want to steer the conversation into giving you some tips, some answers to how you can keep calm and how you can enjoy your life and add those elements of play, even amidst all the change that is growing up, so that growing up doesn't have to seem like something that's so daunting, so scary, so unfamiliar.
So the first tip that we have is don't rush it. You have so many years ahead of you to be a grown up. And while life is short, you need to enjoy the days while you still can, and really live in those moments.
100%. You'll have years and years to be an adult. Don't rush it into the point where you're saying I missed all my childhood because I was just thinking about what's next. Be in the moment. Number two, remember that everyone matures at their own pace. There is no such thing as the timeline. It's a myth. Some things you just can't force. You'll get there when you're ready. Trust the process.
Next is to block out social media pressures however you can. Social media is a highlight reel, and some people that post themselves buying their first house also probably just ask their parents if they can microwave a meal. So just because it's on social media doesn't mean that you know the whole story. Remember that you don't know other people's stories, and the only story that really matters to you is your own.
Tip number four, try not to overglorify your childhood. I am so guilty of this. My childhood, I always say, was so much fun, but it had its challenges too, and I'm sure yours did as well. It wasn't all cartoons and play dates. Every point in life has pros and cons. Remember, your childhood wasn't awesome. You had some things you didn't like, so it's a give and take, and your adulthood aspects will also have good and bad.
Number five is to take on one challenge at a time. Don't expect to just wake up and be a fully formed adult. Like I said, it is a process and there are milestones and it's a transition. You may never feel like a full adult, and that's okay too. Start small, scheduling your own doctor's appointments, buying your own groceries. All of these small things will lead up to your independence and feeling like you are equipped to take on the world on your own.
Tip number six, try, fail, then try again. Life is just one big game of trial and error. You learn by doing and by making mistakes. So don't put so much pressure on yourself to know everything at every stage. Acknowledge that some things you're just going to have to try and figure it out as you go.
And number seven is ask for help. We started this podcast because we had questions about adulting that we couldn't find answers to. We wanted to reach out to our network and gain insight. And we invited all of you guys on our self-discovery journeys. You're basically listening to them. Let's take away the shame from admitting when we don't know things and just help each other. 2022 is the year we cancel gatekeeping.
Hell yeah. We hope that this podcast can be this for you in some way. Though we never claim to have all the answers, obviously, we do want to make this change a bit less overwhelming for you by reminding you that everyone is struggling through this and we're all in this together. And if we unite in sharing our tips and tricks, we can make it an easier time for everyone.
Exactly. So, Jenna, are you ready for a game segment?
Hell yes, let's do it.
Okay, 20 somethings. We want to test out your 90s and early 2000s knowledge. So, how many of these classic throwback items do you actually remember? Play along with us as we test our early childhood memories.
Oh my gosh, I'm reading these already and I can just tell it's going to be such a throwback. These are things that I remember vividly from my childhood and just give me the warm and fuzzies when I think about them because it was just so nostalgic and enjoyable and oh, I miss them. Okay, number one, morning cartoons. I don't know if you were like this, Sophie, but every morning, maybe not every morning, every couple mornings, my sister and I would tiptoe our way into our little tiny den that had a big brick ass TV, you know, those big, like with the antennas. And we'd turn it on and it would make the big static noise. And we would somehow find our way to the Cartoon Network where we would watch Flintstones, The Jetsons, Bugs Bunny, Scooby-Doo. They were my absolute favorites.
Funny, I don't remember any cartoons because I don't think I watched cartoons.
I guess, as you said, it was because you were treated as an adult.
Yeah, not only that, but like I watched a completely different children's programming because I wasn't in
Right.
North America.
Wow.
So,
Okay.
like, I know things like Wigglywoo, but I don't think anyone else
I
would
don't
know
know
that. So it's just funny. Like, I don't really like, I don't have morning cartoons that I remember. I like, if I think a little bit older, like Berenstain Bears, I
Yes.
loved Franklin.
Yeah. Great one.
What else? Max and Ruby. Those are like the things that I remember, but I never watched Flintstone, Jetsons,
Oh,
Bugs
they were
Bunny, or
great.
Scooby-Doo. Like, none of those.
Oh, they were so good. And they were good because they were like, I don't know if they were old at the time, but they were just like things that my parents could watch with me too. Like they weren't like kid shows. I feel like nowadays, like the shows that kids watch are like very young and very like animated. These were like adult
Educational.
jokes. Right.
Yeah, I feel like kids shows now are like literally educational and I'm like,
It's true.
stop it.
No,
Those are
before
for
it was just
kids.
like my parents would laugh at them. They were funny.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, the next thing is old technology. So I know like my mom had a flip phone and it was like revolutionary new
I loved it.
technology. iPods, but like the iPod Nano, like I
Yeah.
don't remember which one it was. I think the Nano, was it the
This
longer
guy,
one? Yeah, so
the
I got
long
that for
one.
like a birthday and that was the biggest deal, and I was listening to like Umbrella and like Gwen Stefani and all
Yes.
of that. I don't know any of the. I'm looking at a list, but like I didn't have a Walkman. What's Walkman?
Are you kidding?
No.
Oh, Sophie, you're about to get dragged on the internet. A Walkman was like before the CD player. And the original one was a portable cassette player where you put the cassette and you could carry it and walk around and you had these little headphones and you could just like it was like the first iPhone. Like it had all your songs on the go. But then that was before me. That was 90s. But then when I had one, I had a little pink Barbie I think it was a walk girl, but it was with a CD. So it was this little round disc and I could put in my Colby Calais and put my headphones in and just jam out in my juicy tracksuit. It was so early 2000s. Wow.
That's, see here, I see a big difference with my friends who have siblings 2 years older than them.
Yes. I
Then
definitely did the older
people who are
stuff.
my age who have younger siblings are more with me where they're like they didn't have that kind of stuff because we were
Yeah.
just too young, but because your sister had one, I have a feeling that's why.
It's true. I did a lot of the 90s things because I had a 90s sibling, right?
Yeah, I don't have anything 90s at all.
But you knew Blockbuster.
Yeah, oh my God, that was the best. We used
Thank
to like go
God.
in and pick up CD, not CDs, DVDs. Yeah, that was, I remember Blockbuster for sure. That was
I
sad. Like when
loved
it
it.
closed, I was kind of like,
Blockbuster was the staple because like if you go there on like a Friday night or a Saturday night, it was popping. Like it
Yeah.
was busy. You had to like get your way.
I miss the rush of like having to return it too, or like your mom being like, okay, you can pick two movies. And it was like, oh my God, I get two. And like trying to
Right.
decide, like it was so different than like just scrolling through Netflix and being like, okay, I'll get
No.
that one. Like it's
It
so
was an
different.
outing. It was
Yeah.
exciting. Oh,
I
yeah.
wish our kids will be able to experience that or would be able to.
The worst thing about Blockbuster is when you'd go and you just pick it up, you wouldn't look inside, and then you'd go home and you'd open it and you'd maybe put it in and you realized it was a different movie put into a different case. That was the worst thing. And you're like, I didn't want this. Oh, sad. Satellite TV. Yeah, with the satellite guys that you have to like move around. I don't know if you ever had one of those.
Don't think so.
I definitely had one. And
I
I had.
remember, see, this would be different than other people. We had two TVs. We had one TV in one language and another TV in another language,
Oh,
but I
I
don't
thought you were
think
gonna
other
say
people
black and
had that.
white.
No. And
Oh.
so we would like watch different TVs. So sometimes, if I was lucky, they put a kid show on one of the TVs, but there would be no volume.
Oh,
Yeah, or
that's
it'd be in
so
like another
funny.
language. Yeah.
Okay, this one for me, I don't know if you had this. So this was probably 90s,
No.
but a mixtape, but specifically, again, because I'm a 2000s baby, it was a CD mixtape. And I remember vividly, I'm going to call this girl out, and I don't know her name. I was young, and it was my first time at a camp. I went to like summer camp, and I have a summer birthday, and my counselor on my summer birthday made me a mixtape. And gave me a CD, and it had all the writing on it and the Sharpie of all the different songs. And
Wow.
she had chosen songs she thought I'd like. And it was the most wonderful thing. Like, can you imagine if someone did that for us now?
I
It's so
know.
personal. It takes so much time. They have to sit there and like load the CD in and burn it. Oh, God.
I think I only have one CD player left in my house. Well, do you remember the little like case with all the CDs in the car and it
Yes.
was like
You'd
fighting over
flip
which CD?
through.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. So good. Okay, but nothing beats the early 2000s fashion because it honestly was such a time. And I joke now because some of the things that were early 2000s fashion that I'm like, I can't believe we wore that, are coming back like into fashion, and I like don't understand because I love it now, but like I would have thought it was so fugly before. Butterfly clips, did you ever have
Yep.
those?
Oh my God, I was the queen of those.
Loved those barrettes, like the little clips. Everyone
Yeah.
had those. Crocs.
Yep. Oh my God, and the
Oh.
little jemmy things where you
Charms,
put
yes.
charms into
They
the
had a
crock.
name, but yeah.
What's it called? I don't know. Oh.
I don't know. They were, yeah, and it was a thing. Like, what color did you have? Or, like, I feel like people traded. Like, it was very
Yeah.
competitive.
And it was like you went into the store and you're like, oh my God, this one's special. I
Right. They had,
have
like,
to have it.
value.
Yeah.
Wide leg sweatpants, which are back now, which is crazy because I hated them back then, but
Okay, I
love them now.
cannot believe that they've come back.
I
And
love
it's
them.
just proof that nothing is ever ugly. It's just what's popular.
It's true. It's just
Proof.
trendy, right?
Oh.
The
What else?
baby tanks.
Yes.
I
Oh my
wore
God.
those
And
under
then
everything.
wearing them underneath.
Yes, why did we do that? I feel like it was like a
But it was also like a
sanitary
thing
thing.
with like our parents. They were like, put tanks underneath. Like
Yeah.
warmth, maybe? I don't
It
know.
was a very early 2000s thing. It might have been warmth to like, yeah, wear it underneath your t-shirt and stuff.
I don't
Weird.
know. Lip snackers.
Yes, in the flavors, I had those. Oh my God, there are so
And like,
many.
I lost so many of them and like they've never turned up. Like, I don't know where they went.
Did you ever have a pair of like the jelly shoes? Like they were like rubbery.
I don't think so.
I'll send you a picture because I guarantee you like you've seen them if you hadn't had them, and they were like when you wore them in the summer they got sweaty because they were plastic. Oh God, early 2000s was a time.
Oh my God. Even Justice. I
Oh
don't know
my
if
God, I
that's early,
loved Justice.
but yeah, Justice. That was like if you weren't wearing Justice, like you can't sit
Who were
with
you
us.
exactly? Oh my
Oh.
God. I also feel like early 2000s fashion was everything was like labeled with either weird phrases of
Yeah.
like
Awesome.
yeah,
Princess.
awesome, super cool girl,
Girl
like weird
power.
girl power, like really weird things like that, or they were labeled with days of the week. Did you not have
Yeah.
like socks that were like Monday and like
Yeah.
what was that?
I don't know. And I would never wear them on a Monday.
No, but then I'd feel bad. I'd be like, "Oh my God, I'm wearing one Monday and one Friday." I'm like, "What am I doing?"
Oh my God.
Okay, what about toys? These I don't know if you'd
Yeah.
have because again, you had a different childhood in a different country.
I know. But I did have Barbies. Barbies, I think,
I
is
was gonna
like
say,
everywhere, Mattel.
Barbies is everywhere.
And I was obsessed with Barbies and babies,
Yeah,
like dolls.
me too. I never
Although,
had. What was the doll that would like you'd feed it?
oh, I had one of those.
I
I don't
didn't,
remember
and I
what it's
always wanted
called.
one.
I don't remember what it's
I'm
called, but
gonna
I had
Google
one of
it.
those.
Wow, yeah, no, so nostalgic.
But speaking of
Oh, I
dolls,
found it.
yeah.
It's a baby alive.
Oh, I had that. Yeah,
I
Baby
didn't
Alive.
have that.
I had an American Girl. Did
So
you?
did I. Oh my God, those were
Did you have the
amazing.
matching outfits?
To you?
Yeah.
No, I was never
So
that bougie.
oh my God, no, I was like literally like American Girl catalogs, they were made for
Loved
me.
it. Those were my like reading material. Like I'd get those in the mail and I'd be like, "Oh, guys, leave me. I got reading to do."
Got reading to do. I had the matching outfits, like multiple of them. And basically, like my American Girl was a lookalike, exactly.
I
And her name was Hannah. Initially, her name was Harriet, and then I changed it to Hannah after I like got into Hannah Montana. We had matching pajamas, we had matching Christmas outfits. So I kid you not, I showed up to Christmas dinner with my American Girl in a matching outfit that
Oh,
I opened from
mine
Sam's
would come
Club.
with me like on the plane. Like if I was
Yeah.
going like on a trip, she'd come.
I had the special backpack. I had it
Yeah.
all.
Okay, but I only recently figured out how expensive these dolls were, and I feel so bad for my parents because like they were not cheap.
Did you have like all the extra stuff? Like I had like the
Yeah.
gymnastics set up.
100%. I had tons like all the little things. I think I also had like the offshoot of it, which were like the baby version. What were they
Oh,
called?
I don't know, American
I'll
baby?
find it. I don't
Okay.
know. Maybe American Baby. But they were so, oh, it was such an empire American Girl ran. I did go visit the American Girl store, which was
Yeah.
exciting, where you could go there and then you could have tea with your American Girl doll. It was a time. Wow.
What a time. What else? Webkinz was like a whole other thing because that was
Yes.
like the rise of like internet. And it confused my mom because my mom was like, but you already have a Tamagotchi. She was like,
I
what do you
think that
mean
was
Webkinz?
Yeah, Tamagotchis were great also. I think it was like the beginning of like that and also like people had like Club Penguin and it was like the first time that like internet bullying started to happen because like you had a, like a personality
And
and you'd like
creep.
message people. It was very creepy. I cannot believe we did that. We were young, we did that.
Yeah, I mean, you're pretty protected.
Oh God, I don't know,
But
dude. It seemed a bit sketchy.
I definitely had creeps message me on there.
Did you have Beanie Babies?
Hundreds.
I
Same.
didn't. I so many people had them.
My friend and I used to like literally collect them and then we go over to each other's houses and like compare which ones we had. And she had, I had a lot. Like I had like a full thing of it. She didn't have an inch of her bed that didn't have a Beanie Baby
Oh
on
my
it.
God.
It
See,
was
I
crazy.
had Groovy Girls. I don't know if you've heard of
No.
those.
I have. I did hear them. I never had one. I thought they
I
were ugly.
think,
Sorry.
yeah, no, they were kind of weird looking. I think they were like my local version of the Beanie Baby. They were people, but I was big into those. I had a lot of those. Oh my God.
And then Skip-Its.
Oh yeah, do you remember those things that would hit your legs and they'd burn?
Ripsticks. Did you have a ripstick?
No, what's that?
Oh, see, okay, it's kind of like a skateboard, but you like kind of figurated it, like you
Oh, I do
made
know.
it.
I've
I
seen them.
still have mine and sometimes I challenge myself. It is so hard, but like once you get the hang of it, you can
Yeah.
get so good at them. I was into
I had a
all of those
pogo
things.
stick.
I have stilts and I still have them in the garage.
Oh. The best thing about my childhood was coming home from school in like spring or summer, probably spring, doing my one page of homework coloring. And then going outside and playing on my front lawn with like all the fun things that we had, the chalk and the skip-its and everything
I
like
still
that.
see kids with them. I
Do they?
still
I
see
was
them.
gonna say, I never see kids like playing
I think that
outside.
it's just more private. Like, I think that we just
Yeah.
don't see it. Like, it's in their backyard or they're at a park and they're not places that we traffic as much. So I feel like it doesn't happen. But then I'll go to like families who have young girls and
Yeah.
I see the skip and I'm like, oh my God, I had one of those.
True. And also, I think. Just based on the fact that we live in urban areas, like we don't see like neighborhood kids.
Yeah,
Like when I
exactly.
was young, I'd go over to my neighbors and I'd knock on their door and I'd say, "Is Stephanie home? Can she come out and play?" And then we'd play in our front lawns because like that's what people would do. Like I know my parents when they were younger, like they'd go out and they were told you can be out until the streetlights come on and then you have to come back. And they wouldn't tell people where they were going. Now because there are phones and stuff, it gets a lot more
Oh,
complicated.
it's not even phones. They put watches on
The
their
watches
kids.
on the kids. I hate it. I hate it. It's so scary. Okay, so that's our little short list of all the things that just scream to us early childhood. We definitely miss them, but also I could do without some of those things. I could do without more Pop Rocks and be okay. So I'm glad to know that they were fun in the childhood time, but we're leaving them in the past. Did we miss your childhood classics? Let us know over on our Instagram what Y2K staple you lived for in your youth. So that brings us to the end of this week's episode. If you take away one thing from it, I would say that it should be that there is no one right way to grow up. You do not need to do it on someone else's schedule. Do it at your own pace and in your own way. Do your best to block out the external pressures and just enjoy every moment because it will be over in a blink.
We cannot stress enough that you are not running out of time and that the fun elements of your childhood can definitely follow you into adulthood if you work to prioritize play in your everyday life and make sure that you're finding the happy moments in your everyday life.
We hope this episode brought you just a little bit of comfort. We're all in this together, and we are so happy to have you in our community to make growing up a little bit less overwhelming. If you enjoyed, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and give us a rating on all major streaming platforms. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and check out our exclusive content over on our website at www.my20somethingspodcast.com.
We love you all so much and are so confident that you can make it through absolutely anything, even things that seem beyond your reach. Wishing you another amazing week. We are sending you endless love and good vibes.
Bye, guys.